It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Around this compound, that's a negative word, isn't it? Around the Sky High Ministry Center. Exciting times around here. We're putting up the cross today. Said what? Yeah, we're putting that cross up in the air today. Bob and my brother-in-law Carl worked tirelessly on it again yesterday. Bob finally built the actual wooden cross. We're going to paint it this morning. We're going to erect that sucker about 1 o'clock today, this afternoon. If anybody wants to come, you're in the area, you want to come and be part of it. And I'm going to try to Facebook Live it so everybody can see what's going on. We are putting a flag in the ground and we're declaring that Sky High is property being reclaimed to the glory of God. Now, people who tune in right now, it happens a lot. People say, what's Sky High? I don't really have time to go through it. It's property that's connected right next to our property. 30 some acres of a ministry center that we were able to, Michelle and I were able to get our hands on purchase a year ago. We've been working at it a year ago. I've done a lot of renovations. Beautiful. I'm just telling you, it's beautiful. And about a month ago, when we had a bunch of folks out here for an event, we were sitting around the campfire at night. And I said, you know what I'd really like to do before the 4th of July? I said, I'd like to unveil on the 4th of July. I'd like to get a cross up. Without going into great detail, folks, Ohio is known, wherever we are, L.A. Marzulli and others have deemed this area Nephilim Central. You guys say, Nephilim, what is that? Well, if you don't know what that is, go back to some of the archives or Google it or whatever. But Genesis 6, there were giants in the land in those days and also afterwards. And we believe, a lot of us believe that Ohio, right where we are, we have the Serpent Mounds, we have the Circle Mounds, we have the Octagon Mounds. There are a lot of mounds all around the Ohio area that, again, L.A. Marzulli says it's Nephilim Central, that demonic beings lived here at one point. And they left a lot of markers. And one of them, we believe, is Sky High. Or at least they had occupation. Dark forces had occupation of Sky High. This property that has come into our hands that sits the highest spot over Buckeye Lake. With you guys, Buckeye Lake may not mean anything to most of you, but to those of you who know Buckeye Lake, we're the highest area. We're erecting a cross, a lighted cross that will be able to be seen. It's going to be unbelievable, and it is raising a flag. We're raising a flag. This property is reclaimed to the glory of God. And a lot of you out there, you know, kind of poo-poo it. Well, most, I don't hear from people who do, but I know some do think it's stupid. But this cross, because it's high on a hill, sky high, it's going to be Interstate 70 runs just a half a mile to our north, State Route 13. I mean, the lake, it's going to be something. I tell Bob and Tammy, every time for the rest of their life, they drive up and down Route 70 and they see that lighted cross up in the air. They're not going to know Bob and Tammy's name, but Bob and Tammy did it. We were at the campfire. I didn't say that. And I said, I'd love to erect a cross. Love to erect a cross and get it up there. Bob said to me afterwards, I talked to Steve Deck and smart guys sitting around there. How do we do it? And yada, yada, yada. And we'll come up with a plan. And Gary Donahoe had some ideas. And Bob being one of those silent assassins, he went home, drew up plans, and boom, he started it. And it's going to be probably, when it's done, the tower itself is probably 24. The tower is about 40 feet, and then the cross on top of the tower is probably an additional 20. So we have a tower 60 feet on the highest hill overlooking Buckeye Lake. We have a tower with a cross 60 feet up in the air, higher than than most of the trees in an opening where everybody's going to be able to see it. And we're putting it up today and say, how are you going to do that? Well, we're going to figure it out. We've had some good experts. Steve Dex helped us with some, you know, engineering techniques of how to make sure that the concrete's solid. And we'll do some more stuff to get it up there, but it's going up today. So if you're in the area and you're a couple hours away, come on, we're going to try to do it at 1 o'clock. It'll be great for you to be part of if you want to. It's an exciting day. I hear upstairs Michelle and Tammy and Bob, they're already heading that way to paint. Gary Pierce told me he's coming down painting that cross. We got stainless steel. We're going to put lights around. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. So we're going to go get that sucker done. Bob Evans. Can't tip my hat to him enough because he was a doer. He said, I'm going to do it. We'll get it done. And today it's going to happen. A lot going on, right? I mean, there's a lot going on. Let me throw this out to you. Thank all of you who responded yesterday saying, registering to come to the event here in July 17th and 18th and 19th. I told you, if you don't register, you can't come. You can't come. And thank you for a lot of you who did register yesterday. We're nearing it. Well, it has to be a cutoff point. So again, I warn you, if you're coming, you say, Coach, listen, I told you I was coming. I don't care if you told me you were coming. Have you registered? Have you gone online and registered? Because that's the list that we're working off of, okay? And we also want to be very, very careful that we stop infiltration. Luann says she tried to register. I don't even know what that means, Luann. I don't even know what it means. Tried to register. I believe you. I'm not making fun of
you. I tried to register. I'm just making sure that it did. That's all. Okay, I filled everything out where I was supposed to, but it wouldn't take the donation.
Oh, well, that's
refused. Different.
Oh, I don't know about that one. I don't know, folks.
Yeah, I'll try again.
Okay, thanks, Louie. Hey, listen, I don't say much about it. We could use some financial help. If you're not going to be able to be here, if you could make a donation offering to us, it'd really help. The crowd's getting bigger. I got to get tents. I got to get some Jiffy Johns. It's just stuff from the food. There's stuff that we have to do that costs money to do it. I don't want to charge anybody to have to come. But if you're willing to make an offering to us, it would be good. It would really help us. And the crowd's growing, as I said. Bring your own ammo. Bring your guns. Do whatever. You can camp. You can pull a tent. I'm sorry, you can pull a trailer. We're going to put up a big tent you can sleep under. But listen, folks, I cannot be responsible for housing you. I just can't. Can't do it. So make sure that if you come, we'll have a tent you can sleep under. We'll have all kinds of things available, places you can sleep. But I don't have a room for everybody, okay? And that's stressing my wife out so much because she loves everybody and she wants everybody to be comfortable. And we're going to rough it. Some of you are going to have to rough it. We'll try to make restrooms available and showers. And we'll do our best with all that. We really will. But, Rob said they're coming, but they won't wear a mask. Yeah, no masks allowed. If you bring your mask, stay home. No masks. Now, here in Columbus, our mayor, I don't know why I call him our mayor. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden, again, all across America, everybody has to put masks back on? Did you see down in Texas, they said, oh, we've got to start social distancing again. Crowds no bigger than 10 again. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. It's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Is it possible that they haven't really released the real virus yet? Is it possible we were just set up for a prelude to something else that's coming? And then what are they going to do? They're going to say, see, I told you so. We warned you. Social distance. Stay inside. Wear a mask. We tried to warn you. And it's something entirely different. I don't trust any of them. Sorry. I don't trust any of them. And all you got to do is look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., whether you love Donald Trump or not. It doesn't matter. You got the Democrats, the God haters, against what appears to be Donald Trump. And then there's a Republican Party out there somewhere, but does anybody know where they are? Has anybody heard anything from that? Is there anybody on our side out there fighting? They come into our town and take down Christopher Columbus? They set things on fire. Is there anybody on our side? No, there isn't. No. So Bobby Lee is still going. God bless Bobby Lee. I will not be making it to Gettysburg. I don't know. God bless Bobby. He's going to go. And if some of you are out there and you want to join him, I'll put you in contact with Bobby. I think it's a great opportunity because Bobby is going to partner with some other groups that maybe we'll be able to partner with in the future. So I thank Bobby for going and representing us and standing up. It's right there in his sort of in his backyard. I just, you know, I don't know. Is that a false flag? Have they said they're going to come to Gettysburg and then they don't come and we all put all of our attention there? So I don't know. And I told Bobby, I just got a lot going on the next several weekends. And I can't make it. I just can't make it this weekend with the cross. Everything's going on here. But if you'd like to just go with Bobby and stand with Bobby, Bobby, have anything you want to add to it, man? We appreciate you going and what a warrior you are and a great soldier and patriot and representative of the cross. We appreciate you, man. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a lot of people on our side, and all of the information that's come out is exactly how many are going to show up from the other side or not. But in any event, if it turns out to be a false flag or not, it's going to be a great time of us getting together with like-minded people to wear the shirts. I still got all kinds of cards to hand out, Coach Dave Live, all of those types of things. So in any event, whether we have to protect something or meeting people, it's going to be a great day.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you going, Bob, and all that you do. And I know I haven't spoken a whole lot about your event in Kentucky. That's next weekend, isn't it, Bobby? The event in Kentucky next weekend already?
It is, and that's coming up quick. We're going to be meeting at Boonesboro and experience that fort for a few hours and talk about real men and real women of the past and learn a little bit. And then we're going to fellowship, put some plans together, preparations, and those types of things in the evening and at night.
So, folks, again, like I tried to say, even though we're having somewhat of a national impact, national effect, it has to happen locally. You got to put your own groups together and your own events, and we'll do our best to try to get there. I appreciate, you know, Chad Estes is jumping in how about this? Chad's jumping in a car on the 16th and 17th. Chad's driving from Dallas, Texas with David Hawkins, and they're picking up Paul on the way here. So, I mean, it's amazing. People are making their way out here, and Jamie Walden's coming, and Gary, I mean, God bless him, man. This is our family. This is our, this is our congregation. It's hard for me to say that. And we appreciate everybody that can make it, and we don't criticize anybody who can't, but we're sure glad you're all here. Anybody got something? Go ahead and pipe in. Got a coffee real quick. Excuse me.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm taking Interstate 80, stopping in Rollins, Wyoming, then stopping in Kansas City, Missouri, then staying at the Courtyard, Newark, Granville. But I'm en route, so it's Interstate 80. Then I'm going to cut down in Kansas City down to Route 70 and then Columbus.
Awesome, man. It'll be good to see you. We'll show you a good time, and you'll enjoy it. And just pray for my poor little wife, Michelle, because – she's just such a sweetheart that she wants to be like everybody's personal vacation director. She wants to make sure you have enough tissues and you have enough socks and that there aren't any mosquitoes in your room and you have your hamburger just the way you like. It's her heart, man. And it really, really stresses her out. It does. So pray for her. And again, if you could just go to Coach Dave Live. com and drop a donation in there to help us fund what we're doing. We are already we're well over the 50 member mark who've registered already over that, and we expect it to go up. Cool. I didn't even put any notes together today of stuff we want to talk about because I know what I want to talk about. I wish OJ was in here. You guys probably don't know OJ. Here's what I love about Coach Dave Live and what's going on. I love real people. Real people. You guys remember that show they used to have on called Real People? And I love real people. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I don't want to hang around power. I want to speak to power. That's really what I would like to do. I want to be one of those guys that has the opportunity to go speak to Nancy Pelosi. She would know me from Adam, but I would love to go and deliver her the message. That's the guy I want to be. I don't want to be invited to her parties. I don't want to be invited to meetings with Trump in the White House. If he invited me, I would go with the opportunity to speak truth. But I don't want to. I want to hang around Joe Silver, Bob Evans, and Joseph Allen, Mark Trump, and Bobby Lee, and Jeff Nell, O.J. Eastwood. I want to hang around the salt of the earth kind of guys. That's what I want to do, because we are the salt of the earth. We really are. We are it. And we're seeing more and more as we look around that those highfalutin guys that got those big titles and those big offices and those big elected positions, for the most part, they ain't going to do nothing, folks. It just isn't going to happen. And it's going to degenerate, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I know that when everything gets started, my buddy Rodney Hoskinson's going to be standing there with me. And I know Mike Blake's going to be standing there with me. And you know, is Congressman Mark Meadows going to be standing there with me? Or are they? No, they're not going to be there. We got to wake up and understand it, man. This is what's going on, folks. This is where this thing's heading, whether we want to believe it or not. And here in Ohio, now they're going to, the city of Columbus, mandatory masks. You have to wear a mask. You know what I want to do? I want to show up without a mask. I want to get 100 of us, 500 of us, and go outside the mayor's office and say, arrest us. Arrest us. No, I'm not going to. But... So here's what hit me this morning as a flea flicker Friday. I was having a discussion with Bob this morning, Bob Evans. Salt of the earth, Bob Evans. Man, I love guys like that. I love coaching guys that you didn't have to coach. You just told them what to do, and the next thing you knew, the man was blocked. He was just blocked. And every time you go back to huddle, you watch the film, Bob's man's always on the ground. And you have to coach him. He sees what he has to do. Boom, he puts his guy on the ground. Bob sees what he has to do. I said, Bob, I'd like to be up there every day helping you, but I got stuff I got to do. So, no, coach, that's okay. I know what I got to do. And he would do it. My brother-in-law, Carl, would do it. I love guys like that's how you win. You don't win with stars. You don't win with big names. Big names are nice to have because big names draw people in. But you don't, folks, we don't win this war with big names. We win it with the Bob Evanses and the guys I'm seeing on ready to look on the screen, the Bob Roys and the Craigs and the God, new names popping in here all the time. It's who we win with. That's who we win with. So I'm going to tell a real quick story. I wish OJ was in here. I know he's OJ, John Brockoff, those guys. I know OJ wouldn't mind me telling this story, so I'm going to tell the story. And then I want to open it up. OJ Eastwood, he's a good old boy from down in Western Kentucky. And about 4 years ago, OJ started popping up in here in the show. Well, not so much here in the show. I'd get emails from him. I'd get text messages from him. He would show up in an event. He'd show up in an event. And about 3 years ago, I think it was, we had an event where I took everybody to the Nephilim Mounds here in Newark, and OJ and his wife, Dorita. Dorita came with OJ. OJ's probably, I'm guessing, 70. I don't know exactly how old you are, Juice, but probably my age, living in Western Kentucky. And he comes to an event up here in Ohio and brings Dorita with him for the first time. And I remember walking in the hotel lobby and meeting Dorita, and she called me over to the side. And she said, Coach, she says, I want you to know our entire family has been worried about OJ. We thought he had a stroke. She said he went to watch from watching sports and fishing all the time. That was all OJ did, was fish and watch sports. To now, he will not shut up about babies being aborted, about the homosexual agenda. He gets up in the morning, and until he goes to bed at night, he is on fire forward for the Lord. We thought he had a stroke. Really blessed me. And I said, you know, I'm sorry I destroyed your family, or Dorita, the peace in your home. I didn't mean to do that. She said, oh, no, you didn't destroy it. We were just worried. We were just concerned because OJ is an entirely different guy. So I thought I'd take a few minutes here on this Flea Flicker Friday and just kind of, I'd like to open up the phones here, the queue, whatever we call this thing. I'd like to hear your woke story. What's your woke story? Can you look back at the moment and say, you know, right there, Coach, right there is where I put the flag in the ground and said, enough of this BS. I'd love to hear from you guys out there, your woke story and how it happened. Don't give us a 20-minute dissertation. But I think the Bible tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I said to Bob this morning, we're going to get up this morning, Bob. I'm going to be out there. There's going to be 40 or 50 people in the queue. Get up every morning and get in the queue. And thousands that are watching at the different times who aren't missing a show. And there's a story behind every one of them. Every one of them. What's making those guys get up and do it? So I'd love to hear from somebody. Just open your microphone and I'll see you. Give us your woke moment. What happened? What was it in your life that was just kind of hit the button?
Hey, Coach. It was your motivational speaking. When I saw you with Lisa Haven about 5 years ago, uh-huh. Your motivation, your get out there and hit them hard. So.
And touch something in your heart that I want to do that, huh, Jeff?
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Because you were already doing it, right? You were already doing it. It was just a shot in the arm to encourage you to do a little bit more, that you're not alone. And you sure don't need us to be able to do what you do, for sure. Somebody else, come on in here. Come on. What was the reaction of your family? What was the reaction of your friends? Has it cost you anything? I hear somebody. Hey, I don't see who it is. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's Steph.
Hey, Steph.
My heart's beating a million miles a minute because this you saved me, everybody. I'm holding my name tag in my hand from the Occupy Conference 2018. I was so lost. I was in witchcraft. I was teaching people. I thought I was doing good, and I was teaching people how to open these doors and how to do these things and call it white magic. And at this conference, after I heard you, L.A. Marzulli, talking about the Nephilim mounds, which was what brought me in, and you talking about the sick man in the head and what doing something and rest is there, and it all came together like a perfect equation. And I felt that in my heart, exactly how I felt when I was crossed over. And since that moment, you talk about your Clark Kent moment, that I went from witchcraft, shamanism, crystals, great spirit to Jesus, abortion, you know, this stuff is real. And everyone is, and I won't shut up. I just can't shut up, and reading and studying and praying. And that's what it's done for me.
Stephanie, you the whole time, the Lord in your whole life, the Lord was preparing you to be a spiritual spy, and you didn't even know it, right?
Amen. Amen. Huh? I can't tell you the difference in my heart. I feel, I know what's on the other side. I got that peak, but I am so hardcore because I've done so much for the other side. I was used like a puppet, and it makes me very angry. It makes me angry. I want to expose all of it. It's real. This is what they do. This is what every day. And I want to fight that so hard because I was used so hard.
So Stephanie, I'm going to have to label you the devil's deserter. You were on the other side and you deserted, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. I did.
Hey, folks.
And I'm so happy and so proud.
Stephanie's going to be here on the 17th and 18th. You get a chance to meet her, and maybe we can sit down. We want to do a prayer walk. Stephanie, maybe you can help lead that, do a prayer walk up there at Sky High and reclaim that territory. I mean, it's...
I would love to, and I have some things I'd like to show people to verify the other side, and yeah, we're going to have a little fire, Coach.
Amen. It's going to be great. We love you, Steph, and we're glad that the Lord brought you in. Hey, folks,
I am so blessed for all of you. Thanks,
understand. I get this. Please receive this in the right way. I get accolades all the time from people, all the time. Coach, Coach, you're the greatest now, Coach. And you know what I tell them? And I say this from the bottom of my heart. I'm just doing my job. See, like the Lord has raised you up to do what you do. The Lord has raised me up to do what I do. And I ain't no more important than Bob Evans. This is my job. This is my part that I play. I'm not the star. This is just my job. My job is to inspire Bob Evans to do what Bob Evans does best. My job is to inspire Stephanie to do what Stephanie does best. My job is to inspire Mike Blake to do what Mike Blake does best. My job is to inspire Mark Trump to do what Mark Trump does best. I'm not some guru. This is a gift. And the gift that I have has been given to the Lord by the Lord for you through me. I'm better than anybody else. I ain't into the hero worship. I'm not into building a cult. I'm not, none of that. None of that. I'm doing my job. Somebody come on in.
Mark. Hey, Coach.
You're reasonable. Yeah, you're reasonable service.
My reasonable service.
That's what God expects of us, is to perform our reasonable service. Mm-hmm.
Give us an opportunity to be able to do it. What is it I do? I you know, Bob Evans, he's up there working. He's not even listening right now. But I know what he would tell you. He can't believe the opportunity the Lord has given him to use his skills. Bob Evans is putting up a cross up on there that's going to be up there long after he's dead. He is leaving a landmark. And he's excited about it. That's what we did. We've given him the opportunity to do, as Mark said, their reasonable service. Reasonable service. What's your reasonable service? What would you like to be able to play into? I'm looking for somebody who wants to come in here. I'm scrolling down through there. The door is open, so if somebody wants to say something, come right on in.
I love God. I love doing everything there is to do for God. And anything I can do for
Luann,
you.
Luann, what woke me
is, for years I used to blame my mother for a lot of crap that she did. Mm. And then when I became an adult and I kept doing the same things, then I kept saying, wait a minute, she ain't even here anymore. What I mean? Okay, now what's wrong with me? So that's when I knew God all my life, but I wasn't actually living for mm-hmm. him.
Serving him.
You know, I didn't have a personal relationship, right, which made all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. So once I laid all that down, oh God, I've never been the same.
And now you're able to do your reasonable service now, right? You can do your reasonable service.
Yes, I do.
What happened to Mike Blake? Mike, what happened to you from being a quiet pew sitter to now going to the clinic, stirring up the police? What the heck happened to you, Mike?
I don't know, Coach, but I thank God for you that he put you in my path. And in fact, I'm jumping on my scooter right now, headed over to Lake House to pick up my ambulance and head to Columbus. So I love you, and I love you, God. And I thank you for being there.
Amen. Gave you a chance to do your reasonable service, right, Mike?
Amen.
And it's not always the same service. We don't all do the same thing. But Mike's walking in the fullness of his calling. And, man, that's what it's all about. Bless you, Mike. Be safe over there. Say hi to all those cops. Somebody else, come on in. Those cops over there, man.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Gary. This is Gary. You know what? I was thinking about this. You know what I see you as? You're like jumper cables. You make connections. And you get things started. And Jesus is the battery.
That's a good word picture right there. I'm a set of jumper cables. But Gary, just doing my job, right? The Lord made me a jumper cable.
Amen.
Right? And so, see, one of the problems, not problem, one of the hindrances we run into is this bothers us, follows us all the days of our lives. How many times have you been out somewhere and you came into a situation and you said to yourself, boy, I wish our pastor was here? Meaning, you can't do it yourself. That's sad, isn't it? I wish my daddy was here. Well, I don't want it to be that way. I want you to be equipped to be able to do what it is the Lord would have you do at that moment when it's needed to be done. Not pick up the phone and call me. What good does that do? You are there. You have that same Holy Spirit inspiring inside you. Ask the Lord to give you the word, because the Bible says that you will be brought before governors and kings. Anybody know where that is? Does anybody know where that is? I hate to just quote a scripture without putting it up on the screen with everybody to see it. Luke 21. You will be brought before governors and kings. This is every one of us. Get that New International off of there. I don't want to read that. Give me a good old King James if you can. New King James, that would work even too. Just give me a King James. You shall keep on going down. When you hear wars, couldn't be nothing. Now keep going. We're doing good. And great earthquakes, before all these things. And settle in your hearts. There it is. And you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk. And you shall be betrayed by parents, and you shall be hated all men for my sake. Jeff, this might be in Matthew. It may be a different one. But it says this, that you shall be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same moment. What you shall speak, for it's not you that speaks, but your Father that speaks through you. Folks, that's what it means to be a vessel. To be a vessel. See, hang on a second. There's no such thing as a water vessel and a sewer vessel and an air vessel. The vessel is the vessel. It has to do with what you pump through it or what you connect it to that makes it the type of vessel that it is. If you are connected to the Holy Spirit, then you are capable of being all types of vessels, right? We've got to quit limiting ourselves and saying, well, that's not my gift or that's not my calling. If you are a vessel, a blood vessel of the Holy Spirit, hey, the Holy Spirit can pump anything through you that needs to be pumped through. Come on through. Is that John Brockoff? I think tried to come in. Come on in there, John.
For me, it was when I read an article by Patrick J. Buchanan in 1984. And by the way, I like hanging out with Uncle OJ too.
Yes, sir. Salt of the earth. So, John, you read an article by Patrick J. Buchanan, and it said basically what, John?
Well, I don't remember. I've tried to look it up in archives. But anyway, when I finished reading that article, it changed my perspective on abortion. Of course, I was always against abortion, but when I finished it, I realized that abortion is a war crime and a crime against humanity when the government is involved in it as well. Mm-hmm. And so, as soon as I finished reading it, I knew that I would eventually be destroying their facilities.
Amen. Amen. Kevin Van Story, what was your woke moment, Kevin? What was your woke moment? Come on, we all went at some point. We all went from playing church, didn't we? Didn't we all play church at one point? What was your woke moment, Kevin?
I have. I'd give my life to the Lord back when I was 7 years old, and I had really no understanding what that was. And you know, somehow, some way, there's no coincidences. But one of your News with Views articles popped across my computer about 2009. And so I just started kind of following you along and just paid attention and became as Barack Obama became our president. I think the Lord just kind of grabbed a hold of me and said, this is something I need you to start paying attention to, because and not necessarily just being a conservative, but being a understanding Christian and understanding what Christ had taught us. So as this moved along and as the show started, and I don't know how this happened, but the morning of the very first show that you did, my phone came on automatically by itself. I don't know how it did. Your program came on and I'm wondering, what in the world is this? And so I shut it off, and my wife was going, what was that? And I said, I don't know, and went downstairs and turned it back on and then listened to you. And I've been right here all along. And Amen. then when you and our little group got together on that weekend where we had the ice storm down here, when you came down to my church.
Yeah, Paul Webb and George Lewis, I remember
just,
it well.
It was just Paul, you, George, Craig, Ray, myself.
Wow.
And nobody else was there. And Coach,
fruit did abide, brother.
You ordained me that weekend, and
yep,
I've not been the same ever since. And now, now I'm actually running for Congress, and I'm actually getting traction. That I have no money, and I've talked to over 2,500 people, and it's just everybody I talk to that, and I'm getting people on my Facebook page and on my this may be the time. You had ran for Congress before.
Yeah, lost.
My sitting congressman won't give me the time of day. He won't say my name.
Sure.
If he says my name, I've got it in his head and I've beat him. But he knows who I am. He put a sign right down the road, two doors down from my office, so he knows who I am.
So is the devil. But the devil knows who you are too, Kevin. Huh? Be encouraged, brother.
This is the time. This is the time for men of Christ, and I'm just trying to be a humble servant. I'm trying to be obedient to what he's given me to do. But through you jump-starting me, that booster cables, that's a good way to put that. With you jump-starting me, you've pulled me outside of myself. I don't need to call you, Coach, and say, I need your help.
Right.
Because I know if I did, you'd come and help me. But you've equipped me to be strong enough to stand up and do it on my own.
Amen. Amen. Now, listen, Kevin, you said something, folks. I heard from the Holy Spirit as Kevin was speaking. We all like to say this and because it sounds good, that I'm just a humble servant, Coach. I'm just a humble servant. And I appreciate your heart. Hey, boys and girls, the Lord needs bold servants. He don't need humble ones. He needs bold ones. We need boldness in these days. Lord, make me a bold servant. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you are a bold servant, you have to depend on the Lord, because your boldness will rise up opposition like you have never seen, and you cannot do it if the Lord is not with you. So, Lord, make us bold servants. Bold servants, Lord. Lord, may we number our days by our enemies, Lord. Help us, Lord, make enemies. Bold servants make enemies. I was thinking of Rob Pugh. I'm looking down here at Rob Pugh. Hey, Rob. Just think about you. You went from you started your own ministry, the Wisconsin Christian News, and you were on the elder board at your church, and you were just so accepted, and everybody loved you, and you kept pushing the truth, and people didn't like it. What happened to you, Rob?
Well, Coach, you know what you've done here is you've created a fellowship, and you have you brought together the remnant. You know, for years I would sit in church. And one day it occurred to me, you know, it's like we're in school, but we're all in third grade. And it occurred to me, we're never going to graduate. We're never going to be asked to actually go out and do anything.
Right.
And the first article I ever published from you, I got called in the principal's office. And Pastor said, oh, I don't know about this Coach guy. You're going to have to, you know. He's way too radical. He's way too intense. Well,
yeah. So hang on a minute, Rob. You're running your own business, running articles, and your pastor wants to tell you what you can do in your own business, right? Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, we were not thrown out of our church, but it got to the point where we were so disliked just because of our activism and our intensity, and I mean, people wouldn't even speak to us, so we just quietly left. And, you know, Pass the Salt and the organization you have going there, that's our church family. So
amen.
That's my story.
So Rob was awake. He just needed somebody, some other woke person to plug into. Somebody else.
Yeah, and there were so many people that needed that, Coach.
Yeah,
all the guys in the queue and more, you know, everybody needs it.
I remember Steve Deck. Steve's in here this morning. I remember Steve Deck telling me he doesn't know how this show came across his YouTube, but it did. And he turned it on and thought, who is this guy screaming? Are you kidding? Who is this guy? And then gradually the medicine takes effect, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Come on in, Steve.
Yeah, it sure did. My waking moment was around 2013. I just saw the evilness in the world. And I wanted to know what was going on. And I researched deeply three things: New World Order, Freemasonry, and the New World Order. and Illuminati. And after I did all that deep dive for about a year, I was like, holy crap, there's a lot of evilness, and saw the agenda on their side. And then I just started searching the godly things, and you pop up one of the first times. And I watched a couple videos, but I couldn't take it at the time because of all that screaming at first. But tonight, when I met you in person at my first conference in Long Island, it was over. Well, prior to that, I had a visitation and from Jesus that I'd be preaching or doing something in Pennsylvania. And I told him no, because I couldn't quote scriptures. And then weeks later, I go to the first conference, and then you ordained me.
Yeah, I mean, it was a moment of the Lord. I just out of nowhere, so I said, hey, Steve, you'd like to be ordained? I didn't know Steve. I didn't know Steve from nobody. Okay, folks, but I heard in my heart, man. So we ordained Steve. Steve is a man. He's a warrior, and he's like so many of us. I don't want this to sound bad. Former Catholic guy, I'm going to tell you this. And listen, get mad if you want to. I don't care. Okay, I really don't care. I think Catholics make great Christians when they really, really find the Lord and find the truth. When they're able to get away from the tradition and all that kind of stuff. Hey, I was one. Save your emails. All right, just save your emails. When I found out that I could serve the Lord without having to go through the priest or through Mary, are you kidding me? Huh? I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just telling you, it happened to me. It happened to Steve Deck. I could tell you on and on and on and on and on. The teaching as commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. Now, if you're a Catholic today and it's working for you, God bless you. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about our relationship with the Lord. And when I found the truth and the power in the truth, daggone, get out of my way. Get out of my way. So that's Steve Deck. It's one of his stories. And he's going to be out here on the 17th as well. Be good to see you, Steve. Bless you.
Yes, awesome. I can't wait.
A lot of good like-minded people. Somebody else, who wants to jump in here? I saw Jeff Klein try to get in there a minute ago. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, I'll tell you that when you put the jump box on me, I use jump boxes at the car lot. And it started out at Chapel Hill Church, sitting out there, enjoying going to church. And I was copying your newsletter every month. I'd copy about 6 or 8 copies of that in my copy machine, tuck them in my Bible and take them. And people wanted them. And I'm passing them out in church. And the pastor come up one day in the group and he seen I was passing something out and I handed him one. He stuffed that thing in his pocket and he was mad. He walked off. He didn't like you. So then just shortly after that, you invite me to the camp meeting in Warsaw.
Wow.
You said, this pastor guy, Bill Dunphy, came down here, and Pastor Rusty Thomas and Pastor Flip Benham.
They're walking across America. Yeah, they're going to get you in trouble. Yep.
That pastor said they're going to pull guns. Because I went back. I went Monday night to first night. Went out Tuesday morning to the pastor and said, man, you got to come, Pastor Dan out there. I said, you got to come. Oh, he was mad. Tuesday night, I go again, me and Mary Jane, loving it again, hearing all these guys preaching about abortion, homosexuality, and walking across America where these guys came from. So I go back out second day, tell him again. He don't want no part of this. He said, Jeff, I'm going to tell you, these guys are going to be pulling guns out of the trunks. These are bad people to be hanging with. I spent the whole week at that camp meeting. Rusty ended it that night with that sword above his head. Remember that sword?
Yes, sir.
He yelled freedom 3 times, the top of his lungs. Just give me goosebumps. So a whole week of a tent revival of these guys, fire and brimstone preaching. I left Warsaw, and I tell people this, because I was asked this the other night in the church in the garage. New people asked me, said, what got you going? So I had to tell them this story. And I told them all about the whole event and everything and different things we do. But I left Warsaw, and the sign coming into the little village of Warsaw, I looked at it and I said, I came to Warsaw and I saw the war.
There you go.
Warsaw. I was like, but that just changed everything. Now I got everybody hating me. The family members don't want you around. It's been 15 years of just craziness. You know what I mean? But it's all been some, and like you always said, always for years, you said, we're just making a story.
Making a story. Bold servants, not humble servants. We're bold servants. By the way, Jeff said something there. Rusty Thomas lost his son-in-law yesterday. His son-in-law has been battling cancer for about, I don't know, 18 months maybe. Robbie went home to be with the Lord yesterday, left behind, I think, six small children. So Rusty Thomas, the last 2 years, has lost his son, one of his daughters, and now his son-in-law. There's a
wife years ago.
His wife years ago. There's a warrior for the Lord, brothers, who's he's paid the price. So keep Rusty and his family, keep that family in your prayers if you can.
Well, Lord, we just lift Brother Rusty to you today, Lord. Just the humble servant that he is, the mighty man of God, the warrior that he is, and just the trials and tribulations he's been through with all the death around him, Lord. But all the life he has brought forward, Lord, has just been a blessing to you. We ask you just lift Rusty today, Lord, his entire family and everybody around him, Lord. We just thank you for our brother Rusty. Lord, we'd ask you to put a hedge of protection around that man. And Lord, that he stands like Job, Lord, as he goes through these battles. And Lord, we love him and we know you love him. And Lord, we just lift him today to you. And we thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. Somebody else, come on in. Got an open door here. We want to hear your story. We want to hear your story. Come on.
Dave.
Yes.
I don't know if I have a story, but a couple just fond memories of everything. One is, I remember when you got your program started, when we were trying to get 10 people to listen. And I remember you'd have to wake up early to make sure you were one of the first, you know, 8, 9, or 10, or you'd be closed out. And that was 4 or 5 years ago. I think what I've liked so much about your ministry and particularly the queue in the morning is it's simple. It's just kind of the fellowship. I've always felt kind of blackballed at my church for years. Felt unappreciated, like I was a problem. I was a problem child. And it always puzzled me because I didn't think I was a problem child. I just thought I was a child that had an opinion. And from the queue in the morning and going to some of the different events and activities, I drew to love a lot of the guys on the queue. And what drew me to it was not only your work and your ministry and all that, but I loved being around men who had opinions. I really didn't care if they were my opinion. I just liked a man who had an opinion, because I had been to every, you know, hog roast, corn roast, wild boar hunt, fishing trip, breakfast in the morning, and I never heard any opinions. And so that's what drew me to the queue. And it's just the camaraderie, the fellowship. It's opened my eyes up to so many areas of scripture that
Hang on, OJ.
I was not aware of. And so that's my little testimony this morning is,
amen,
the humble beginnings. But for me, camaraderie, the fellowship,
amen,
is what has drawn me and what has kept me. And I love men who have opinions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, I got OJ here. Hey, OJ, we were talking about you. I don't know if you're listening to the show live.
No, I wasn't watching. I usually watch it live.
Okay, now listen, OJ. I told you a story. Folks are listening to us right now, OJ. I told you a story about Dorita telling me she thought your family thought she'd had a stroke, right? OJ, we're talking this morning about what was the woke moment. What was it, OJ, that woke you up from fishing and following Kentucky basketball and sports? And what the heck happened, Juice?
I think my son put me on to Kent Hovind, and when I seen his story, I just couldn't believe that SWAT teams go in on an elderly man and woman in their home at 2 o'clock in the morning and pull them out of bed and keep them in jail for 10 years. That was just unbelievable to me. And then from watching him, your name popped up where you went to help him. And so I got to start watching you, and I've been hooked ever since. I don't even think I missed the show.
And your family thought you were nuts, right, OJ? Dorita told me they thought you'd had a stroke.
Yeah, I was fishing practically every day, and I'd go out and fish all day long. I love fishing, coast around in the boat, trolling, pulling fish in. But after finding out what was going on in the world, that the churches and stuff and the media, nobody was telling us what was really going on. But when I got listening to you, I could find out what was really going on and what real Christians are like. Mm. It's just not you are like, it's your whole group.
Yes.
That whole family.
Yes, sir.
You just cannot beat.
Amen, Juice. Well, buddy, we love you. And I use you as an example all the time, man. It takes just honest, hardworking, God-fearing, committed people to stand up and speak up, and we can push back and win this thing. So, OJ, God bless you, man. Thanks for being with us. And check this YouTube video out because we'll hear your voice on it. All right, buddy?
Okay. And I want to bless everybody that watches your show because they're the greatest people on the face of the earth.
Amen. Hey, OJ, we're putting up that cross today, man. Wish you could be here. That thing's going up. I'm going to Facebook Live it today, hopefully about 1 o'clock. So that cross is going up over Sky High. Love you, OJ. Thanks, man.
Okay, I'm working on a hotel right now to try to get up there for your event.
All right, buddy.
See you then.
Thanks, OJ. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Salt of the earth, folks. That's what it's about. He ain't some big name preacher. People say, who's the most famous guy you know? Say, dang, go on. I know O.J. Eastwood. They say, who? Say, you don't know O.J.? Well, you ain't lived. Come on, somebody else. Come on, man.
God bless you. Coach, my testimony is this. I'm a former Protestant.
I'm going to start using that. I'm a former Protestant. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Amen. Coach, yes. One of the reasons I like this queue so much is I don't care about opinions. I like to hear people, men especially, that have conviction.
Mm-hmm.
We can Amen. Disagree, but I want to hear conviction. I want to know that you believe what you believe and you do what you believe and you walk it out.
But, Jack, the truth is you've been way out in front of a lot of people, right? I mean, Jack, you've been singing this song for, what, 30 years? And nobody hearing you, nobody believing you, and you hosting your own radio program up there in Maine and trying to get the word out, and everybody thinking you're crazy. Your family thought you were crazy. Your church thought now you were right, Jack? Right, Jack?
Now they know it, right?
Now they know you're crazy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how things start? We never know how we influence people. Somebody gave me, probably a family member, but somebody gave me a Chuck Missler cassette tape back in, I don't know, 78, 79. And it made my eyes pop.
Hmm.
And I started thinking, and I started listening, and started critically listening. And then I started to realize somebody's lying to me. See? And that's kind of the an illustration. My dad pastored for over 60 years, and he gave an illustration that I use all the time because it's so relevant. So this Christian guy dies, goes to hell, and he's walking through burning hell holes, picking people up out of these burning holes and dropping them back in. After months of this, Satan finally grabs him. What are you doing? What are you doing? He says, I'm looking for the preacher that lied to me. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Or at least told you half truths, right? Half truths. Yeah. Amen. We love you, Jack. You're welcome here, brother. That's for sure. We got about 5 minutes, folks. Somebody jump in here now. Speak now forever. Hold your peace. Well, not forever. Hey, let me do this real quick. Somebody coming. Hey, Chad. Are you prepared, brother? Are you prepared for the weekend that's coming up here in a couple weekends? You heard me say
yes,
the numbers.
Number? I'm still.
What was your woke moment, Chad? Imagine this, folks: a state highway patrolman getting red pilled. What was your woke moment, Chad?
Well, I think I don't know. It was in 2011 when I was woke up in the morning. When I first thing in the morning, I woke up and I heard God's voice, and it said, get prepared. And then, of course, I did what everybody does. I blew it off, and the next day he said it to me again. The next day he said it to me again. The next day I asked him, prepared for what? And that was it. And then 18 months later, I got an answer, and that was for persecution.
Amen. Amen.
And then about the quest for knowledge, the Hagmans came on there, learning all these guys' true news, all the 9/11, the popes, all the dates, all those things. That you begin to collect all this stuff enough to finally you break through that ceiling that you've been given all these years. And when you finally have that realization, the world just, you can't go back.
Amen. Amen. And I met Chad Estes when we held a rally at the Supreme Court Justice Building in Washington, D.C. And he and his wife, Michelle, got in their truck and drove all the way from Moody, Texas. I call it Moody, whatever that town is. Moody drove all the way from Moody, Texas to stand with us at the Supreme Court against homo marriage. And I've had a bond with Chad ever since that moment. So appreciate Chad. Couple more. Hey, if you want to jump in. Yes.
I wanted to share my wake moment.
Sure.
This is Jennifer from Pittsburgh. I met you all down at the Kim Davis rally.
Wow. That's a while ago.
And it was, ever since then, my convictions have changed. I'm angry at what we have passively allowed,
mm-hmm.
Especially on the abortion issue. And you see where it's going. And I hope that whatever we can do in a small group like this, which I know we can, whenever you were witnessing about the homosexual marriage, that's when, I couldn't believe that somebody actually articulated the actual very problem that we were plagued with. So thank you guys.
Amen. 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 Appreciate you being. That's why the scriptures tell us, folks, as I kind of wind up here, that we're to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And there's no doubt in my mind, no matter what your theology might be, because you got to be careful, because sometimes your theology can be a roadblock to you. Sometimes your theology can blind you to the point where you think you have it all figured out. And no matter how many signposts we see, no matter what we see going on around us, the truth remains, there is always something we can do until our last dying breath. Now, I want to caution you with this, and I didn't talk much about it today, although it's pounding out of my heart. The whole thing that's going on with Ghislaine Maxwell being arrested and the Jeffrey Epstein thing, some of you probably tuned in today to discuss that, to see what I thought about it, yada, yada, yada. And here's what I think. I think we need to sit here for a little bit and let the dust settle. We certainly know that Ghislaine Maxwell knows where all the bodies are buried. But it doesn't matter if somebody doesn't have a backhoe to dig out those bodies. You know what I'm talking about? So we have to be careful with all the bait and switch and all the confusion in the coronavirus. Is this now another false flag thing that they've thrown in our face to encourage us? See, boys, we're still winning. So I'm not going to comment a whole lot on all of this yet until we give the dust the chance to settle down a little bit. Folks, there are things coming at us so rapidly, so fast, faster than we have ever seen it. Every one of these things that we see that becomes a story for a day would have been a month-long story 10 years ago. It's just rapid fire, one after another, after another, after another, after another. Dale Socha, I saw that you tried to come in. Come on in, brother. You always got 2 cents worth to throw in.
Oh, no, sir. Actually, I was running late. I'm just catching the end of the show. I'm sorry.
Okay, buddy. Well, you listened to it, Dale, because it was testimony time about what woke people and all that.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure it was, Coach, and I definitely believe, like you were just saying, that things change, headline changes so fast. Things are expediting it these days.
Yeah. We can't let them keep spinning our head. Area code 207. Come on in real quick.
Okay. That's a quick one, Coach. The dust will settle. That, like the day that two planes brought down three buildings in their own footprint at free fall speed, that dust.
And Jack, ain't nobody dug up them bodies yet either, have they? We know where those bodies are buried, but there ain't been nobody that's dug them up yet. About 1 o'clock today, folks, we're going to try it. Be near your phone, be near Facebook. We're going to raise that tower at 1 o'clock. If you're close and you'd like to be part of it and watch us do it, I don't know how we're going to do it. The Lord's going to be the one. I trust Bob Evans and his gift, and it's a big moment for us here. They're going to know that there's a king in Buckeye Lake. They're going to know there's a king over Buckeye Lake when this whole thing's done. God bless y'all. Hey, send us a little bit of money if you could. If you could just send us a little bit to help with the weekend we got coming up and everything. We got some expenses. God bless y'all. Have a great weekend. Have a great 4th of July. And that's stupid, isn't it? Have a great Independence Day. A great Independence Day. We'll see y'all on Monday. Yes, we will do a show Monday morning. See you then.